Father, right now we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit. This is a word and Holy Ghost church. We thank you that you said that now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we thank you for free course in your word today. Thank you for utterance. Thank you, Father, for divine impartations, grace deposits. Speak to us through the word. Speak to us by your Spirit. And any adjustments that we need to make, any tweaks in our walk that we need to make, we're hoping and we're available. We thank you that you are the God of glory. And we honor you today. We magnify you and we give you thanks in advance for that which you've done and that which you will do in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and be seated for a few moments. We're going to have communion at the end of the service. Well, we are doing a series called Flourish. And we're talking about this morning, Flourishing Faith, Part 2. Now, last week we discovered what faith is. Faith is a conviction. Faith is a persuasion. Faith is having confidence. And faith is trusting in something. Well, our faith, our confidence, and trust is in someone. And that is our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says that now faith is, it is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. We spoke last week about Abraham being fully persuaded. Abraham was not partially persuaded, but he was fully persuaded that what God had spoken to him, that he was able also to perform. And oh, what a performance took place. Isaac was born. You know, when Sarah first heard the news, she laughed. She thought it was funny. But she made an adjustment in her mindset. She went from thinking God was funny to knowing that God is faithful. And Sarah herself also received strength. It was not just Abraham's faith, but it was Sarah's faith. It was her faith in the faithfulness of God. Now, just as Abraham was fully persuaded, and for your faith to flourish, you also can be fully persuaded. We looked at a couple of things last week. Number one, we must know God. Like Paul knew God. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Amen. Have you committed anything to the Lord? Are you persuaded that he's able to keep you? Are you persuaded that he's able to sustain you? Are you persuaded that he's able to perform all that he promised to you in his word? Fully persuaded of the promises of God. So just like Paul knew God, we must know God. And then secondly, we must know his word. Now for faith to be fed, or faith to be nourished and to flourish, it must be fed, it must be nourished, so that we can grow. How many of you know that his words are spirit and they are life?
Amen.
Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Proverbs 4:21 says, his words are life to those that find them, and their health or their medicine to all of their flesh. Just even sitting in this atmosphere of faith,
yeah,
sitting in this atmosphere of glory, your spirit man is being fed.
Amen.
Amen. Healings are taking place.
Amen.
In every organ, in every cell, in every fiber of your being.
Amen.
There's faith in the house. We've got faith in God. We've got faith in the power of God. We've got faith in the word of God. We've got faith for the glory of God. Glory to God. We have faith, and it's given us victory in every area of our life. Woo! Glory to God. So we're walking by it. We're talking by it. We're living by it. We're not moved by sight. We're moved by what we believe. Glory to God. You see, it's not that faith is blind, it's that faith is sight of a higher kind. So we refuse to look at those things which are seen because they're only temporary. But we take a look at the unseen realm with the eyes of our faith. We don't see it out here, but we see it down here, down in the unseen realm. And it cannot change. It will never, ever change. Glory to God. We're standing on solid ground. We're standing on the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Can somebody shout amen? Glory to God. Faith words will nourish you, and they will feed your spirit. They will build you up. They will edify you. If there's no nourishing, you will not have any flourishing. So spend time feeding your spirit and exercising your faith so that you can become spiritually fit in this day and this hour. We need to be fit for the Master's use. Amen. You know, Paul, writing to young Timothy, said it this way in verse 8 of 1 Timothy 4. He said, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." I think we should take advantage of the little that it does profit. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Having promise of the life that now is, or in other words, having a benefit of being here, but greater benefit of the life which is to come. I like what the Message translation says, exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more, making you both fit today and forever. Amen. So we're going to talk about exercising our faith. We exercise our faith through our actions. In James chapter 2 and verse 17, in the Amplified Version, it says, "So also faith, if it does not have works." Let us qualify what he means by works there. Deeds and actions of obedience. The WUS translation says, "Without corresponding actions, faith is dead." So he says, without actions of obedience to back it up by itself, it's destitute of power, it's inoperative, and it is dead. The CJB says it this way, "Thus faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead." So we see then that there need to be corresponding actions with our faith. Otherwise, our faith will not operate. Otherwise, our faith will not work. Say with me real strong, faith requires action.
Faith requires action.
And here's what faith is. Faith is acting on what you believe. So what do you say this morning? We take a look at some of the corresponding actions, if you will, amen, of a flourishing faith. And here's what I got in my heart as I was preparing this phrase, faith gets ready. Faith gets ready. Faith prepares. When I think of faith getting ready and I think of faith preparing, I think of Noah. You know, Noah in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his household." Amen. Understand this, that Noah got a word from God, but he prepared and he got ready before there was any rain. He gathered the animals before any sign of a flood. Faith caused him to prepare and to get ready for what God had promised. Amen. So we need to understand this. Faith is not passive. It plans, it builds, it prepares. Amen. When you are in faith, you prepare, amen, for what you believe, even though you can't see it in the natural realm. Amen. Real faith is backed by our actions. And it is backed by our preparation. And when I thought about that flood that came, this thought came to me There's another flood that's on its way. It is not a flood of destruction. It's not a flood that will annihilate, but it is a flood of God's presence. It is a flood, come on somebody, of the glory of God. Greater glory. Greater presence. It's what Smith Wigglesworth saw in a vision when he was praying for Lester Sumrall about the greatest revival to hit planet Earth is on its way.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's what Brother Hagin prophesied and prayed about for years and years and years while he was living here on Earth. It's what you and I long for. It's what we desire. Thank God for good church services. Thank God for decades and decades of ministry. But I'm telling you what, He has saved the best for the last. And we are living in the last of the last days. Habakkuk chapter 2, 14 says, "For the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." You see, in Noah's day, the flood destroyed, but the flood of glory will restore. The flood of glory will revive. Amen. And the flood of glory will empower. Hallelujah. Noah prepared an ark for judgment, but oh, glory to God, you and I are preparing for a divine visitation. We are preparing for a divine visitation. Amen. A visitation that will literally shake this earth.
Amen.
A visitation that will cause supernatural interventions into the ordinary course of nature. An intervention of God. An explosion of almightiness. An explosion of the glory. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and say, "Thank you, Lord. For days of heaven upon the earth." Ooh, glory to God. Get ready. Because here He comes now. Get ready. Because He's on His way now. Are you ready? Amen. Some of you recognize that old Momo sound. But seriously, let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare our homes. Let's prepare our church. Let's prepare the call of God on our lives. You see, our actions must correspond to what we believe. And this phrase just came into my spirit: make room for the King of Glory. Make room for this divine visitation. Don't miss out. Don't fall asleep in the day of His presence. Don't fall asleep in seasons of harvest. It's time to wake up. It's time to gird up. It's time to pray up. It's time to step up and step in to the greatest move of God this world has ever seen. So faith gets ready. Faith gets ready. Faith gets ready. We're preparing for greater glory. And so what we all want to make sure then, because of this, that our vessels are clean. Amen? That there's no uncleanness in our lives. That there are no skeletons in the closet. That there's no hidden sin. Incidentally, there's no such a thing as a hidden sin. Because all things are open to the eyes of whom we have to do. Amen. He knows about it. You know about it. So why don't you just repent and get rid of it and receive the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus so that you can be meet for the Master's use. Walk in holiness. Walk in wholeness. Walk in the Spirit in this day and this hour. Here's what Paul wrote again to Timothy. He said this: "Whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminated and corresponding influences, will then become a vessel set apart and useful for honorable purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. Amen. I'm feeling like Isaiah, arise and shine. Amen. For thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. We as a church want to be ready. We want to be ready for every seat to be filled. Amen. We want to be ready to accommodate healing services. We want to be ready. Getting ready. So the question is, are we prepared for what God has prepared for us? Now let's look at some practicality on corresponding actions to your faith that will enable your faith to flourish. Here's another one. If you're believing for marriage, get ready. Start praying for your spouse right now. Work on you. Learn about healthy communication, forgiveness. Learn about love. Get your finances and your lifestyle in order so that you can share with someone else. And then, believing for a baby? Get busy. I know a lot of people that have been real, real busy. Have a lot of kids. Maybe a better way to say it is, get ready. Get prepared. Amen? Amen. What would a corresponding action to believing God for a baby be? Well, prepare a nursery. Yeah. Buy a crib. Do something to expand your vision of a newborn coming into your life. And whether you adopt that baby or whether that baby is born of you, mom and dad, it really doesn't make any difference. They are gifts from God. Amen? Amen? Amen. How about this? How about believing God for a job or believing God for a career? A corresponding action to that would be polish your resume up. Yes. Now, don't lie. You know, don't say that you've done a lot of stuff that you haven't done. But get a resume ready. Take a course. Get some training. Faith gets ready. How about this? Start dressing like you already have the role. Begin managing time and resources if you've already, as if you were already employed. And then there's people believing God for promotion and ministry. The only way to be promoted in ministry is to be ready. And we don't want to just sit around twiddling our thumbs, hoping that someone will recognize us and notice us and promote us. See, promotion doesn't come from man. Promotion doesn't come from Pastor Mark or Pastor Brent or Pastor Tom. Promotion comes from Him. And to qualify for promotion, you must be faithful. Amen. Faithful in what? Faithful in whatever your hand finds to do. Because when you are faithful in the little, God will see that. And God knows that He can trust you. And when God knows that He can trust you, He can promote you. Amen. 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 Now, promotion does not necessarily mean being in another position of ministry, but promotion sometimes means in ministry an enhancement of the anointing and an increase of the unction on you to serve in the capacity that God has called you to serve in. Amen. That's what promotion is. We do not want to go off trying to do something we're not called to do. But what we want to do is do our very best with what God has placed in our hands. I asked you this morning, what is that in your hand? What is that gift? What is that calling that God has placed on the inside of you? Faith gets ready. Glory to God. So preparation then is a corresponding action to our faith. Here's another thing that is a corresponding action to our faith. I think about Abraham. Abraham was strong in faith, and what did he do? He gave glory to God. So what does praise do? Well, I believe that praise, amen, that faith praises before the breakthroughs happen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you need to learn how to praise God at home.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Yeah.
And I love to minister to the Lord in this house. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But if you want to experience a bump up in the presence of God, if you want to experience Selah time, if you want to experience a greater presence of the Spirit of the Lord upon you, start praising Him in your home. Start lifting up your voice in your living room. Glory to God. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, say, glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Praise Him. Praise Him. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The mighty name of the Lord is to be praised. And then while you're at it, worship Him. Many of you received the infilling of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. Wasn't that awesome? And many of you in the house today are filled with the Spirit. But I submit to you, being filled is not enough. It's about being refilled and refilled and refilled. And one of the greatest ways that we can be refilled of the Holy Spirit is drink in daily of His presence. I want to encourage you to find some good worship music and put it in your room or put it in your car or wherever you're at and begin to worship Him in spirit and worship Him in truth. You see, it's very true that God inhabits the praises of His people. So if you're believing God for a breakthrough, praise Him in advance.
Yes.
Now, here's another thought about a corresponding action. One of the greatest actions of your faith is speaking words of faith.
Yes.
Speaking the word. Speaking is an action. It's an action to your faith. It's releasing your faith. We've discovered what faith is. Have we not? We know how faith comes. It comes by hearing, not having heard. But it comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But faith is released by words. Faith is released by our actions. And one of the greatest actions of your faith is speaking faith-filled words. A man of God said this many years ago and is branded in my spirit. I want to remind you of it. That faith-filled words dominate. You see, we are created for mastery,
amen,
not misery. We are created for dominion, not to be dominated. We are created the head and not the tail. We are created above and not beneath. We are created the blessed and not the cursed. Amen? So faith-filled words, words from His Word. When ye are spoken from your heart, out of your mouth, faith-filled words will dominate the laws of sin and death. You have been made free from the law of sin and death by a higher law. And what is that higher law? It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Woo, glory to God. This law will lift you. This law will enable you to soar once again, just like an eagle, and flourish in faith and flourish in the courts of your God. Faith-filled words, they dominate the laws of sin and death. And don't wait until the crisis comes to open your mouth. Speak up right now. Why? Because speaking up is a part of your training.
Amen.
Now, it's not that, you know, His Word won't work if you wait till the crisis comes, but you'll be better prepared when the crisis comes if you speak up now.
Amen.
Why is that? Because then out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak.
Amen.
When the pressure comes, nothing's going to come out, but thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
When the pressure comes, nothing comes out, but what His Word says. So there is this connection between corresponding actions and speaking faith-filled words. It is the heart and mouth connection. You see, if one believes in his heart that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and one says with their mouth that he has been raised from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. This heart and this mouth connection, it worked for you to get born again. Amen. And if it worked for you to get born again, it'll work for the healing of your body. It'll work for the meeting of your needs. It'll work for the restoration of your soul. Oh, glory to God. So speak up. Lift up your voice in strength. Speak God's word over your situation. Speak God's word over your body. Amen? Dominate in the area of divine healing in your body. Say what God said. God said that he redeemed you from the curse of the law. He said that he took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. He said he's forgiven you of all iniquity. He's healed you of every rotten, stinking disease. Woo! Glory to God. So speak up. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak so. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak up. Let the redeemed of the Lord act on what has already been accomplished in Christ Jesus. Speak up. Speak up about your finances. You're going to say something anyway. So instead of talking lack and thinking you're not going to make it, have a vision. Get a vision in your heart. And the way this vision will come is by speaking God's word. Let's try this on for size. Say with me, my God does supply my every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, that's a corresponding action to what you believe. If you believe your needs are met, if you believe you are redeemed, say so. Amen. Now, in the area of direction, how many of you are looking to the Lord for direction in your life? Well, that's just about 100%. How many of you need to make a quality decision very soon? That's several of you. Direction is very, very vital, and it's very, very important. And we do not want to talk ourselves out of getting the right direction by saying things like, well, I never hear from God. Well, I know Pastor Tom hears from God, but that's, after all, that's Pastor Tom. Well, God's no respecter of persons. Somebody says, well, I'm not a pastor. I can't hear from God. It's not reserved for pastors only. It's reserved for you. It's reserved for every child of God. Amen. Glory to God. So when it comes to direction, school yourself in faith. Say what he said. Here's another way you can say it. Say it this way. Declare this. The Spirit of truth abides in me. He teaches me all things. I've got a God on the inside. And he's guiding me into all the truth for my life. Oh, you're doing good. Let's continue. Therefore, I confess I have perfect knowledge of every circumstance, of every situation that I come up against. For I declare I have the wisdom of God. I'm full of wisdom. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Now, here's another scripture. It's over in John chapter 10. Let me just quote it to you, and you can say it like this. I do follow the good shepherd.
I do follow the good shepherd.
And I know his voice.
And I know his voice.
And the voice of a stranger, I'm not going to follow. Glory to God. See, what you're doing is you're positioning yourself to hear from him.
That's right.
You're positioning yourself to hear right.
Yeah.
And once you hear properly, and once you hear right, then you can follow what you've heard.
Amen.
And how many of you know, when you follow what you have heard, that's when you'll begin to enjoy life. Because he's not going to lead you and guide you into a burnt pasture. No, your shepherd is going to lead you. He's going to guide you into green pastures. Woo, glory to God. Declare this with me real strong. I'm always
in the right place,
at the right time,
doing the right things,
with the right people,
getting the right results.
Here's what Smith Wigglesworth said. I was looking at quotes from some of the past generals that have gone on to be with the Lord. I was looking at some quotes by Lester Sumrall, and I was looking at some quotes by Brother Kenneth Hagin, and I was looking at some quotes from Smith Wigglesworth. Here's what Wigglesworth said. He says, if you seek nothing but the will of God, He will always put you in the right place at the right time. So what are you encouraging us to do this morning, Pastor? I'm encouraging you to speak up. I'm encouraging you to pray up. Set yourself up for your steps to be ordered by the Lord. Amen? Praise is a corresponding action. Prayer is a corresponding action. Speaking God's word is a corresponding action to your faith. And here's another very important one. Obedience is a corresponding action to your faith. How many of you know that faith takes steps even without the details? So be obedient to the leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is on the inside. He is your guide. The scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Spirit Himself will bear witness with your spirit concerning minute details of your life. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for His leading. Thank God for His guidance. Woo, glory to God. So I don't have to look to you to lead me. I don't have to look to man to lead me. Now, I may get some counsel from men who I trust, but at the end of the day, men cannot make your decisions for you. You need to make your decisions for yourself. Now, employ others to pray for you while you're in that decision process. Amen? And you will discover clarity. You will discover clear leadings of the Spirit. So be obedient to the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I heard something the other night by Janet Brazee, and it was just awesome. She preached a message down at World Outreach Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, how the choices chart your course. Choices chart your course. Life is a series of choices, is it not? And she began to go into some of the history of her walk with God and how that God led her and she made the right choices and things began to unfold. Choices of obedience can chart your course. I think about before I met Brenda Raylene Edwards. That was her last name, Edwards. Good name, right? Now she's Brenda Raylene Edwards Tomas. Ha ha. Glory to God. She's mine. And no one can take her from me. But just, you know, track it through in your own life. Just think about how God brought you together. How God brought you together with the divine connections you've got. I'm telling you, He's a supernatural God. He knows how to put things together. He knows how to put people together. And I'll tell you something else. He knows how to keep people together.
Amen.
Glory to God. But I just think about it. I'm astounded. I mean, here's a guy from the north. I'm from Minnesota. I'm from cold country. And she's an Okie from Oklahoma. She's not an Okie from Muskogee. She's an Okie from Pawnee. Farm girl, city boy. State hospital. She's at the altar at the Assemblies of God. Catholic Assemblies of God. How in the world? It's not in the world. It's in Christ Jesus. Woo, glory to God. I think about God dealing with her to go to Ramah. She almost did not go. and God dealing with me to go to Rhema. They were trying to talk me into being a chemical dependency counselor. And I couldn't have been a good one, but it would not have been God's best. It would have been second best.
Yeah.
Hey, stop settling for God's best by adopting second best.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to wait. Amen?
Amen?
So he dealt with us to go to Rhema at the same time. And think about this. He put her upstairs apartment and me right downstairs. I mean, directly downstairs.
Amen. Praise God.
When I went to Rhema, I had a few pots and pans. I had a chaise lounge. I didn't have a bed. I didn't have any food. But one day, there came a knock on the door. Hey. The Lord sent an angel to my front door. And next thing I know it, a week later, I got food, I got furniture. Hey, I got it. I was in the right place at the right time. You're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. Come on, sing with me. I'm in the right place at the right time. You see, Abraham was in the right place at the right time, and a ram showed up. Woo! Glory to God. I like that. Sing it again. I'm in the right place at the right time. Glory to God. Right place. Right people. Right God. Woo! Glory to God. You're in the right place at the right time. And just think, just look back all that God's done for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Just think about, when I think about the, Jerry Savelle talks about the law of progression. It's kind of like first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear.
Yeah.
I think about my life, going from cottage 16 in a state hospital. Cottage 16. Getting out of the hospital and living in something that looked like a chicken coop, literally.
Amen.
But hey, the law of progression.
Amen.
I'm out.
Amen.
But I'm not just out of the hospital, I'm in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
And when you are in Christ, no one can keep you down.
Hallelujah.
No one can hold you back.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Woo, glory to God. Because I was in the right place at the right time. Amen. So I went from the chicken coop to an apartment. Hey! Brenda and I got married, and we've been going up ever since. I said, we've been going up ever since. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your steps are ordered of the Lord. Your faith, it can grow. And it can flourish. Start right where you are at. Don't try to run a marathon of faith until you've at least run around the block. Are you here? Here's what I got in my heart. It is so important for all of us, to be sober-minded concerning right where we are at in our faith. Romans 12:3 in the Amplified says this. It says, for by the grace, unmerited favor, God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now notice this, but to rate his ability with what? Sober judgment. Sober judgment. According to the degree of faith that he's given you. What is this talking about? It's talking about looking at our lives accurately. Not overestimating our faith, nor underestimating it. It's looking at yourself with honesty, humility, and real clarity. You're not pretending to be further along in your faith than you really are. And this thought came up in my heart. Years ago, Fred Price wrote a book called Faith, Foolishness, or Presumption. And that's one of the first classes they taught us at Rhema was Dr. Price's teaching on faith, foolishness, presumption. And he defined the difference between faith and foolishness and presumption. So what we need to do in our faith walk is to avoid foolishness. Amen. I mean, if you need glasses, please don't throw them away. I don't want to drive on 880 with you. Well, I'm just going to, bless God, I heard Brother So-and-so, and you know what? He did this and he did that. You ain't Brother So-and-so.
Yeah.
You have the same God as Brother So-and-so, but you got to be led by the Holy Ghost for yourself.
That's right.
Amen. Don't throw those glasses away. Now, there may come a time when those glasses can be thrown away. But don't be so foolish to throw them away before the right time. It's the same with medication. People are throwing their medication away before they should throw their medication away. Don't throw your medication away. We do not want to have to deal with you unmedicated. Maybe I should reverse that. We love you. We like you how you are. Now there may be a time to throw it away. Amen. But you got to know the time and you got to know the season and you need to be led. And I don't mean this wrong. I say this with a pure heart. There are people that are with us today that are not with us today because they didn't do what the doctor said. They had the opportunity to have a procedure. And had they had the procedure, they very well could have been alive today. But because of stubbornness, and because of foolishness, and because of trying to acting in their faith where they weren't there yet, they're not with us today. Thank God they're in heaven. Amen. So avoid foolishness at all costs. Now, here's another thing we need to grab hold of. We need to be inspired by others. Amen? But we still need to be sober. And not compare ourselves with someone else's faith. I don't know whether you're getting this or not. This happens all the time in Word of Faith circles. All the time. And then people don't get the results that they foolishly thought they were going to get. And then something happens and they say, well, this faith stuff don't work. I tried this faith stuff and it don't work. No, this faith stuff tried you. And you didn't work. Are you still here? I'm hoping to hear an organ sooner or later. Glory to God. Let's sing it again. I'm in the right place. Yeah, at the right time. Be sober. Don't be sad. But be glad. And be thankful that you are where you are. And if you will start where you are, you will not stay where you are. Glory to God. Oh, I think about the stories. I mean, right in this house. Oh, the stories, the testimonies of what the Lord has done in your lives. Amen?
Amen.
See, what we need to do sometimes is look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
And then look what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
And then look with expectancy of what the Lord shall do. Amen. I mean, he's brought many of you a mighty long way. He saved you. He set you free. Many of us could have been in hell for years now. But we're not in hell. We're on the highway to glory. we're on the highway to heaven. Amen. Glory to God. And when you look back and see what God's already done, know this, that he ain't finished with you yet. Why is that? Because he who has begun a good work in you, he's going to perform it. He's going to complete it. He's going to finish it with your cooperation.
Hallelujah.
Amen. How many of you will cooperate with him?
Amen.
Glory to God. Your will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy word be done in my life. Your will be done in my family. Amen. Glory to God. The law of progression. The law of progression. I think about the buildings we've been in since 1982. We leased here and we leased there. We leased here and we leased there. But now we own our own.
Amen.
It's the law of progression. And the good news is this. God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
See, he didn't give Pastor Tom a bucket full of faith and you a little thimbleful. He gave each and every one of us the measure of faith.
Amen.
Say it with me, I have the measure of mountain-moving faith. Let's pray right now. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Basso corre mediste lebrate. Obra passiata. So I encourage you to use your faith. God is pleased when you use your faith. It honors him. It shows you trust him. I want to encourage you in closing to believe God for something every day. Believe him for something every day. Believe him for healing or health or strength every day. Believe him for wisdom or direction. How about this? Believe him for favor at work. Believe him for favor at school.
Yes, yes.
I like this one. Believe him for a divine connection or an open door.
Yes, right.
Believe him for a soul to be saved.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll guarantee you before Danielle gets home to San Francisco today, many people will be saved.
Amen.
She may go down to Carmen's barbecue and lead everyone in the house to the Lord. She may go to the laundromat next to Carmen's and lead the whole bunch of them to Jesus. Why? Because it's a way of life for her. She's in faith for a soul to be saved every day. I want to encourage you in it. I want to encourage you to believe God for a breakthrough in your finances. For clarity in mind and in your heart. Use your faith. Expect favor. Expect answers. Expect divine appointments to come your way every day.
Amen.
And that is my message. My name is Marcos Francisco Tomas. And I agree with this message. Praise the Lord.